Hey guys, welcome to the Anchored Hope podcast. I'm Pastor Mike, the lead pastor of Anchored Hope Church, and I hope that while you're listening today to our podcast, you can join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at 211 Boone Street. We'd love to have you. We hope that this message is encouraging to you, and we hope that you can also join us at our location at 211 Boone Street. Also, check out our Facebook page and our website, www.anchoredhope.church. Well, today we are celebrating Easter. And what does that mean? What does it mean to celebrate Easter? Well, if you chip away the exterior of it, the egg hunts, the Easter bunny, the baskets, spring, all of it, what you're really left with is this. Easter is the culmination of the life, the gift, and the power of Jesus. And if you don't know anything about Jesus, Jesus was born through a virgin. We celebrate that at Christmas. And Jesus' life was much like anybody else's. He had a job. He was a carpenter. He had a family. He had brothers and he had sisters growing up. And then at the age of 30, the Gospels, firsthand accounts that are written in the Bible, the first four books of the New Testament, tell us a little bit more about Jesus and how what his ministry looked like. And what we see is this man from the age of about 30 to 33 begins to claim that he was the Son of God. And he began to explain to people a revolution that he was bringing, a new covenant that he was going to introduce to the people, a new form and system of the way that people would be saved, a new form and system of the way that people would relate to God and would relate to other people. And Easter is really the culmination, the bookmark of his life. And everything that his life gave us. And we all know, I mean, to this day, Jesus' life is impacting people. Jesus has impacted so many people, probably impacted your life, and he's still a figure, a person that we talk about to this day. But Jesus was also a gift. You know, in the old covenant, the old Jewish law, the way that you were saved from your sins, when you sinned against God, you were saved by sacrifice. You had to sacrifice something. Blood had to be spilled on the altar. You had to give something important to you, to God, in order to atone for your sins. But Jesus was this gift. In John, we all know the verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." God gave us this gift of his Son, who lived this life that was perfect, who lived this life that was without sin. And that was what made him the perfect sacrifice that could be made. And he sacrificed himself for us so that we could be saved, not through works, not through earning it, not through sacrifice, but through grace. And he gave us that gift of being saved through grace, through his Son, Jesus Christ. And that because of that gift, we have a whole new way of being forgiven for our sins. It was right there on the cross where Jesus said, forgive them, Father. But also, too, we have power. At Easter, we celebrate the power of Jesus because no other figure in history, no other time, did somebody predict their death and their resurrection. Jesus, again and again and again, throughout the entire Gospels, he was never surprised. He always knew. He kept telling the disciples again and again and again, "Guys, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be taken. I'm going to die. I'm going to die for everyone's sins. And then here's what's going to happen. 3 days later, I'm going to rise again. I'm going to come out of that grave." And that power of defeating death, of defeating the grave, that not only represented Jesus and who God is, but it also represented what he was giving to us, power in our own lives to be resurrected, to come back to life, to have opportunities to be born again. And Jesus even told his disciples once he was risen from the grave, he said, "Guys, I got something great for you. I'm sending you a helper. I'm sending you a guide. I'm sending you someone. I'm sending my Spirit in order to empower you." And you think that this is crazy? The things that we've done the last 3 years, the things you've seen me do, you're going to do even greater things than I have done because you're going to have my Spirit with you. This is what we celebrate at Easter. The gift that Jesus is, the life that Jesus had, but also too the life that he gives us and the power that he empowers us with. And many of us know a lot about Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross, how he died for our sins. But there's something else that I want to talk to you about as well. We're starting a new series today called Jesus Never Said That. And what I want to talk to you about, besides what Easter represents and the gift and the life and the power that Jesus has given us, is also the fact that a lot of times as we hear about Jesus, as we learn about Jesus, as we take what we know about Jesus, a lot of times we can sometimes manipulate Jesus into who we want Jesus to be. It's very easy sometimes to take what Jesus said and twist it to our liking, fit it to who we wish Jesus would be. It's also very easy to kind of assume what Jesus would say. Well, if Jesus were in front of me, he was a pretty understandable guy. I think if Jesus were here in front of me, this is what Jesus would think. And it's very easy sometimes to make Jesus into something he's not, to put words in Jesus' mouth that he never said, to pick a version of Jesus that we would like to have. It's like, you know, which Jesus is your favorite? Well, I like the baby Jesus, you know, with the little golden fleece diapers, and he's so cute, and he's so lovable. Or you know what? I like the Jesus who turned the tables over. It reminds me of me when I get together with my family, you know? That's the Jesus I like. So that's the Jesus I'm going to picture in my head. That's the Jesus I'm going to talk to. That's the Jesus I'm going to assume about. But we can't do that. It's an easy temptation to believe and share things that Jesus never said. And maybe even your view of Jesus today has been twisted by somebody else. Maybe from a sermon or a video you've watched online. Maybe even a book you've read. Maybe somebody who's talked to you about Jesus, or even a past church that you used to attend, has somewhat twisted your view of Jesus into something that it's actually not. And so the thing that we want to achieve in this series, in these next few weeks together, is this. We want to understand who Jesus is so we discover who we should grow to be. We have to have the proper, the crystal clear view of who Jesus is in order for us to understand who we are supposed to be transformed into. Because that's what we're trying to do here. We are trying to be transformed into the image of Jesus. We want to be more like him. We want to live the life he did. We want to be the gift that he was to other people. And we want to have that same power in our life as well. And so, since it's Easter, we're going to begin with the gift that Jesus gave us. We're going to begin with forgiveness. A lot of us know about forgiveness, and a lot of us understand about Easter and forgiveness and what Jesus did on the cross for us. And that's all great. And it's been documented so many times and put so many different ways. And the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament and most of these accounts and really was, I believe, kind of the grandfather of the church, who started so many churches, he wrote it so many different ways and wrote it so well. But to the church at Ephesus, this is how he put it. I love this. It says, "It is for by grace you have been saved. Through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." What Paul is saying there is Jesus paid the debt that you owed God. All of us have sinned. All of us have missed the mark of who God designed us and created us to be. All of us, because we have free will at one time or another, have chosen to rebel against God. And you know what? We owe him a debt. It's like I explained it to my daughter the other day. It's like, you know what? When you do something wrong, you have to take responsibility for it. There's sometimes a punishment that comes with it, but you always have to own it. It's your responsibility. It's your mistake. And so we have a mistake to be responsible for. We have a debt that should be paid. But God has said, you know what? You don't have to pay for it. I will pay for it. Through my son, Jesus Christ, my son will be sacrificed for you so that you can be saved, so that you can be forgiven. This is your gift. And let's not also forget that through this gift and through this transaction, God also adopted us into his family. What was so revolutionary about what Jesus did is not only were we okay and atoned with God, not only were our sins canceled out and forgotten, but also too, we were adopted into his family, and now we can be children of God, sons and daughters of God. And a lot of us, again, like I said, we know this. This is great, right?
I mean, everybody's excited. Yeah, awesome. Woo, we were forgiven of our sins. We're going to heaven. Awesome. Eternity is ours. There's all these promises from God, and we don't have to sacrifice any animals or anything like that. We don't have to go through a priest, you know. Now we can have this relationship with God and relate to God in a totally different personal level. And now, you know, he's still the King of Kings, but now we can call him Abba Father because we're adopted into his family, and we can see him as a father and as someone who's a part of our family who loves us and cares for us. All of that is great. That's awesome. And that's what we celebrate a lot of times at Easter. However, what I want to talk to you about today is how that transaction, how that covenant changes how we relate to one another. Because see, Jesus was very clear. When he came on the scene, he said, I'm going to change how you relate to God. No longer is it going to be this vertical relationship where you have to throw things up to God in order for God to throw blessings down to you. It's not going to be like that anymore. It's going to be totally different. I'm going to die for your sins. So you no longer have to throw anything up to God. You no longer have to sacrifice. You no longer have to pray a certain way. You don't have to go through these hoops. It's going to be a relationship. But here's what that's going to change. What was once vertical is going to now become horizontal. Now it's going to change how you relate to one another. So even though you're still in relationship with God, what I want it to do is I want it to change how you relate to one another. And Jesus spelled this out really clearly in the Gospels. Several times people took firsthand accounts of what Jesus was saying. And Mark, he wrote it down like this. I love what Mark says. He says, this is Jesus talking. He says, here's what I want you all to grasp. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and with all your strength. But here's the thing. The second command is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. Somebody walked up to Jesus and they said, can you wrap this up in a nutshell? Can you put a bow on this? Can you tell us what the greatest command, like if I was trying to be the best person I could be, could you give it to me in a very clear, concise, a tweet, 150 characters or less? Could you tell me what it would be, what it is I'm trying to measure up to? What's the target I'm trying to hit? And Jesus said, it's very clear. It's two commands, but it's really one. It's like a coin. There's two different sides to it. And one has to go with the other. You can't do one without the other. And it's this. You need to love God. You need to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. But here is what is equally important now. I want you to love your neighbor as yourself. This is going to change how you relate to one another. This is going to change what you do with everybody else. I want you to love your neighbor. Now, a lot of us, we probably hear that, and we probably think the way that a lot of people did whenever they heard this. Oh, that's easy. I love my neighbors already. I have two very good ones. We get along just great. I can do this just fine. Some of you who live in Troy, you go, well, this is perfect. I live in the middle of nowhere. I have no neighbors, so I have nothing to do. Fine by me. I can follow this pretty well. But Jesus actually began to break this down and explain exactly who my neighbor is and what it means to love my neighbor. Because even when we hear that statement, you've probably heard it before in church, love my neighbor. What we think of is like, you know, like occasionally do a nice thing for somebody. You know, occasionally show some love, help the homeless, feed the poor, that kind of thing, right? That's what it means to love my neighbor. Like, just don't be a jerk in general. That's what it means to love my neighbor, right? But that's not exactly true. See, what Jesus began to explain to his disciples and to us is it's not as easy as it looks. And it's actually a lot deeper than just getting along with your neighbor or getting along with somebody. It's much more than just feeding the poor or helping the homeless or doing a good deed every now and then. It should change how you live, and it should be who you are all the time. And so Jesus broke this down several different times. But in his sermon, probably his most famous sermon he ever preached, called the Sermon on the Mount, it's found in Matthew 6. Matthew writes this sermon down and everything Jesus said. And it's this glorious sermon that Jesus prepared. And it basically broke down how everything that we had ever heard, everything that the Jewish law ever taught, the whole old covenant, it was all about to change. And again, he said, you've heard it said this way. It's actually going to be this way now. And it was all about relating to other people. But he also broke down in that sermon how we should pray. And he told the disciples and the crowd that were looking on, he said, when you pray, this is how you should pray. And probably most everybody here knows some part of that sermon, right? Our Father who art in heaven, blah, 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 blah. Okay? Not really blah, 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 but you know what I'm saying. But there's a very important part in that sermon that I think brought on a reaction with the crowd. So you know most of the prayer. I'm not going to pray it, but there was one specific part that Jesus got to that made everybody go, huh? Check this part out right here. He said, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Now, I think that this was probably the part in the sermon where everybody, you know, in the sermon, you know, I watch all of your facial expressions, just so you know, I'm watching you, okay? But, you know, this is probably the part in the sermon where everybody went from this. You know, I like this face, the I just smelled cookies face, you know? That's good. That's good, Pastor. And the whole crowd probably went from this to this. What? You know, this is the part where everybody started to turn to each other and go, what did he just say? I don't think I heard that correctly. See, because this is different than what they had been told. This is different than how they had been brought up. This is different than anything else they had ever taught. This was totally counter to the old covenant and the Jewish law. Because what they had always heard was an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. If somebody tags you, you tag them back, right? That's what you do. That's fair game. It's only fair that if somebody gets you, you get to get them back. And you get to get them back worse to teach them that they shouldn't have ever got you. Right? I think you did that with your siblings growing up. But they had never heard anything like this. Jesus, forgive our debts as we have already forgiven our debtors. Do for us what we have already done for everybody who has owed us debts. Now, the reason I think that this made the crowd start to turn and begin to talk is because as soon as Jesus was done with his prayer, he addressed this. And this is what Jesus said to the crowd next. He says, all right, let me explain this, because I see you guys are all kind of rolling your eyes and looking at each other and wondering what I'm talking about. Here's the deal. If you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Okay. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Ruh-roh. What? Hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. I thought this was between me and God. I thought all I needed to do, before all I needed to do was make a sacrifice. Didn't matter what I did to my neighbor. Didn't matter what I did to my enemy. Didn't matter how I felt or how angry I was. All I needed to do was slit the throat of the goat, let the sacrifice go, and then, you know, I'm good. I'm pardoned. And I thought this was going to get easier. I thought you were going to die for our sins. I thought now it was totally different. But now what you're telling me is that if I'm to be forgiven, if my sins are going to be forgiven, I also have to forgive others. And if I don't, it cancels out my forgiveness. I thought this was going to get easier. This sounds way harder than it actually was before. But that's how serious Jesus was about how this was going to change how we related to other people. Jesus said, hey, everything's going to change. There's a new covenant. There's a new transaction. There's a new deal. But here's the thing I've got to get you to understand. Is that I want this to impact how you relate to one another, how you love one another, how you treat one another. And yeah, I am. I'm very, very serious about this. You have to forgive one another. And here's how serious I am about this, is that if you don't forgive one another, I can't forgive you, because you can't take the free gift that I'm freely giving you and not freely give it to somebody else. Jesus was so serious about this, and it changed everything. He was so serious about this that he actually even addressed it another time in the same sermon. Just before, he talked about it, but I don't think anybody actually knew what he meant until he got to the prayer. But he said this. He said, here's what I want you to understand. If you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Jesus said, this is how serious I am about this, is if you get to church and you're worshiping me, and all of a sudden you remember, you realize that you have beef with somebody else, that somebody else, there's a broken relationship between you and your coworker, you and a family member, you and your boss, you and your neighbor, you and your friend. Here's how serious I am about this. I want you to get up. I want you to walk out of church. I am not as concerned with you worshiping me right now. What is more important to you, me, what I want you to put higher on the priority list is that you go leave, go be reconciled with that person, go make things right, make sure that they know that they're forgiven. Given, go make everything crystal clear, and then come back, and then you can worship me. Okay, so everybody's just going to close their eyes, and we're going to see if anybody needs to leave right now, okay? Oh, nobody's getting up. Okay, you're all a bunch of liars is what's wrong, okay? That's how serious Jesus was. He said, here's how serious I am. I'm not concerned with you worshiping me, going through the motions, singing these songs. Listening to my, no, I want you to make things right. I want you to be reconciled. Now, Jesus was very clear of the terms of his new covenant. He said, here's the deal. However, we don't live like we take that very seriously, do we? I mean, like I said, no, but none of us got up. And of course, you're not going to. That would be embarrassing. And if you have to go to the bathroom, just sit for 5 more minutes and nobody will notice. However, we should. We should. We should get up and leave if that's what we need to do, because that's the deal. We're supposed to forgive others, forgive the way that God has forgiven us. But we don't live that way and we don't pray that way because we've convinced ourselves that if Jesus were in front of us today, what he would say is, look, I forgive you because what you did wasn't that big a deal. And look, I don't expect you to forgive them because what they did was terrible. I mean, what you did didn't really hurt anybody. Nobody got hurt. Everybody's okay. So of course I forgive you. But oh my goodness, what they did. Of course I don't expect you to forgive them. No, it's okay. Brood about it. Be mad about it. You know, be upset because that is just normal. You know, not many of us probably pray how Jesus told us we should pray. More often, the way that we probably pray is, you know, Jesus, forgive me of my debts. And you know what? I'll think about forgiving theirs. I mean, I'm waiting for something. I'm waiting for a transaction. I really think they owe me something. And so thank you, Jesus, for forgiving my debts. And I didn't have to earn it. And I didn't have to do anything for it. But Jesus, just forgive me while I hold on to this for a little bit longer. Or Jesus, I confess to you my sins, and I will forgive them when they confess their sins to me. And they give me a justified explanation of why they did what they did to me. I'll get to it. See, many of us would probably put words in Jesus' mouth or assume something about Jesus that probably isn't true and say, Jesus doesn't expect me to forgive a bad person who did something terrible to me. Jesus would understand. Jesus would get it. Jesus would know why I can't drop it. Jesus would get that I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. And so I'm completely justified in this. And so I can still go to church and I can still worship God and I can still call myself a Christian because, I mean, we all know, let's be realistic here. But here's the problem. Jesus never said that. What Jesus said is, I want you to forgive the way I have forgiven you. Period. That's it. So today, we're celebrating our forgiveness. Today, we're celebrating our adoption into God's family. We're reminded that God loves us, and Jesus was resurrected, and the power that he had is available to us, and that's all rainbows and sunshines. But the reality is that with that gift of forgiveness, we have to also ask ourselves a very, very important question today before we can move on any further. Is there anyone you need to forgive? Because your forgiveness is counting on your ability to forgive other people. Now, let's take a time out, okay? Because like I said, I read your facial expressions, okay?
take your angry eyes out for just a minute, all right? So let's take a time out. Big breath. Go get a donut if you need to, okay? Because here's the thing. I know what you're thinking. Some of you, you've already got the person in your mind. You've already got a name. You've already got a face. You may already have tears in your eyes. Because you know somebody who hurt you bad. And let me just say, because I know what you're thinking. See, I told you we should have tried that other church. I came for Easter, not to be challenged. Jeez. Here's the thing. Okay? I know it hurt. And it is okay to feel the way you feel. And nobody is trying to downplay what happened to you. Some of you, you have been betrayed. You have had a spouse cheat on you. You've had somebody break a promise. You've had somebody who was supposed to be your protector be your betrayer. You've had somebody hurt you. You've had somebody lie to you. Some of you, you weren't the person who was attacked. You weren't the person who was hurt. But you love somebody who's been hurt by somebody else. And because the person you love was hurt, you can't forgive them, and you're hurt by them, and there's so much pain, and there's been so much damage that has taken place in your life because of what they did. And I want you to know, your feelings are completely justified, and nobody's telling you not to feel the way you feel. You are allowed to have your feelings. You are allowed to be angry. That is okay, and nobody is trying to downplay what happened to you. What happened to you is horrible. What happened to you is unfair. What they did to you is reprehensible. And I know it hurts when somebody lies to you, when somebody betrays you, when there's sexual attacks in your life, when somebody has stolen something from you that you will never be able to get back. I understand, and nobody is trying to downplay what has happened to you. I want you to understand that more than anything else. But here's the deal. The question we all probably want the answer to this morning, the reality of it, past the fairy tales and the easy message to hear, is this question. How do you forgive what feels unforgivable? This is a question I get asked all the time. Pastor, how do I forgive someone who has hurt me so bad, who continues to hurt me, who still hasn't given me an answer, who still hasn't got the punishment that they deserve, who still hasn't been caught, who still continues to hurt my family and I? How do I forgive something that feels so unforgivable? It just, I can't let it go, and they're not making it very easy for me. How do I forgive what feels unforgivable? Well, here's the thing. We're going to get to the spiritual side of it in a minute, but here's some practical stuff, okay? And this is, you could apply this to your life whether you're a Christian or not. But here's the thing. It all begins with a mindset. Because here's what's going through your mind right now, and here's your mindset. I can't give it to them because they don't deserve it. They haven't earned it. I cannot give it to them yet because it's something that they don't want it. I don't want them to have that gift. I don't want them to benefit from it. I want them to have to work for it. I want them to have to earn it. But see, here's the thing. I want you to get it out of your mind that forgiveness is a gift for them. Forgiving them is not for them. It's for you. Here's the thing. When you are able to forgive somebody, it is your banner that you can be proud of. It is your banner that you can stand under that says, you did not defeat me. When you forgive somebody else, it is your way of saying, you did not defeat me. You do not determine how this chapter ends. I am letting you know that I have risen above this, and I am better than this. And this knocked me down, but it did not keep me down. I have gotten back up, and what you gave me was a tap. Look, I can turn the other cheek and let you take another whack at me, because you can't defeat me. You can't destroy me. You cannot end me, and this is not the end of my chapter. I am going to finish the chapter the way I want the chapter to be finished, and I am letting you know that I am not done by a long shot. Forgiveness is not so much a gift for them as it is a gift for you to set yourself free, to claim victory for yourself, to say that you win, and to not let them determine if you have lost.
It's your way of setting yourself free, because the honest truth is that you are the prisoner, and you are the one that is choosing to keep yourself in the cage, and you have got to let yourself out. How many of us have been hurt by somebody who have become angry because of somebody else's actions? And you know what? That person who hurt us has moved on with their life. They have gone. They have left. They're living their life. But yet we have remained bitter and angry and upset and sour about it. Who gets hurt? Who gets impacted when that happens in your life? It's not the person who moved on. They're gone. They can't hear you. They don't see you anymore. No, it ends up impacting your life. And it's the people, the family, your spouse, your kids, your friends around you. They're the ones that get impacted by your bitterness, by your rage, by your anger. It's not the person who knows about it. It's not the person who's feeling. You're not doing anything to them. It's staying right there in your camp, in your home, in your heart, and it is only destroying and hurting you. You've got to forgive just for the fact of you've got to set yourself free. Let me help you understand something, okay? Forgiveness doesn't make what someone did to you okay. Forgiveness proves, though, that you're okay. Nobody's telling you to get over it. Nobody's telling you to forgive and forget. You'll never forget. That's the reality. I understand that. No one is telling you to forget. But when you forgive, it does not make what they did to you okay. It doesn't say, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was a huge deal. But forgiveness sends a very clear message that you have not been defeated, that you are okay. Because if we live in bitterness and resentment and hatred, then we continue to let the wound stay infected and poison us. I like the way that Dave Wills said it. Dave Wills said this. He said, holding a grudge doesn't make you strong. It makes you bitter. And forgiving someone doesn't make you weak. It sets you free. I'm telling you this because I don't want you to be a prisoner any longer. I'm telling you to forgive because forgiveness is what's best for you. It's not a gift for them. It's for you to set yourself free and to let yourself be okay. And for you to finish the chapter the way that you want the chapter to finish. Because the truth is many of us are not going to get what we really want. And we got to be okay with that. We got to be able to still be able to move on from that. Forgiveness is what is going to help us move on. But here's the other thing. Forgiveness empowers us. Forgiveness empowers us to move on. But the other spiritual fact of the matter is this. Is that if you call yourself a child of God, if you claim Christianity, if you claim to follow Jesus, the thing is this, is that Jesus said, if you're going to forgive, if you're going to be forgiven by me, you have to forgive others. You have to freely give the free gift that was freely given to you. It's not fair for us to be forgiven by God, to count that as ours, for us to take that gift, but to not allow it to be given to other people. You know, Jesus prayed the prayer and he said, Our Father. The fact is that, even the bad guys, even the bad people are also people that God wants as part of his family, children that he cares about. And if any of you have families, I mean, everybody's got a favorite kid. We all know that, all right? So if you're here with your family, just talk about that over lunch. Dad, who's your real favorite? But here's the thing. Even if you have a bad kid and a good kid, you still love your kids, right? And you never, even as poisoned or as bad or as turned off as one kid may be, he's still your kid. They're still your kid. She's still your kid, right? You still love them. You still wish in your heart that you could all be a family, that things could change, that you still always embrace that bad apple because they're your family. And here's the thing. Everybody on this earth is family to God, even the bad ones. And those people are even, Jesus died on the cross for them too. Jesus died on the cross for all of us. And none of us have been perfect. Jesus was the only perfect one. And so we have to give that free gift that was freely given to us. Paul echoes what Jesus said. He wrote this, Paul wrote, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. If we're going to be forgiven, we also have to give the forgiveness. Because we're all part of this family. And God's hope, God's desire is that we would all get along. And his desire is that we would pass on that forgiveness to everyone who might sin against us. I like the way Andy Stanley put it. Andy Stanley put it like this. He said, in the shadow of my hurt, forgiveness feels like a decision to reward my enemy. But in the shadow of the cross, forgiveness is merely a gift from one undeserving soul to another. None of us have earned Jesus' forgiveness. None of us have done anything in order to demand it. It was a free gift that was given to us. And so my question to you this morning is, if you're going to be forgiven by God, is there anybody this morning that you need to also forgive? I'm going to call the band back up. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to do one of two things. And the first is this. I want you to know how much God loves you. If there is nothing else that you get from today, I hope that you understand that God loves you. That God sent his son for you to die for you with even, yes, you 2,000 years later in mind. So that you could have a relationship with him. So that you could be free. So that you could be adopted into his family and have the same life and gift and power that Jesus had on this earth. That is yours today. And I want you more than anything else to have a relationship with Jesus. I want you more than anything else to find yourself a church home. Even if it isn't this church home, you need a body of believers. You need a community of people who are dedicated to this new covenant idea of not only loving God and worshiping God, but leaving the church walls and going out and loving your neighbor, loving your community, caring for people, doing what needs to be done to be the hands and the feet and the arms and the mouth of Jesus. That is what the church is. Paul describes it as the body of Christ. We are now the body, and there is something that we cannot do by ourselves. You need a body of other believers. We need each other, not only just to make it in this life, but to fulfill the mission that God has given us and to build the kingdom that he has called us to build. We need each other, and we need a church home. And I want you to have that, and I want you to have that relationship. And that is as simple as letting what Jesus did on the cross count for you. That is as simple as saying, God, I give you my life. Thank you for your gift. Thank you for your son. I embrace that. I accept you. And I pick up my cross and I'm willing to follow you today. That's the first thing I want for you more than anything else if you don't have that relationship today. But the second thing is this. Is that if there is anybody today that you need to forgive, I want you this morning to forgive that person. And you don't need to go out here and make a coffee date or go talk to them. You don't have to say a thing to them. You don't have to rehash things and pull up all the old stories and try to get them to understand what they did to you and what was wrong with it. Truth is they're probably not going to understand because this is their brokenness, okay? We'll never understand some of the senseless things that people do. But we can still forgive them. We can forgive them in our hearts. We can let God know that we forgive them. We can set ourselves free today. What they did to you is not okay, but you can be okay. God can give you that peace in your heart. God can release you from that. God can start to bring healing to that memory and that experience that you've had. He can set you free from that, and he can help you move on, and he can help you write a new chapter and begin a new part in your life. In the same way that he resurrected his son, Jesus Christ, he can resurrect you from your experiences and your pain that you've gone through in your life. You can do that today, and you can walk out of here, and you can be renewed, and you can be adopted, and you can be holding on to the fact that you know that you are a son or you are a daughter of God today. And that is who you are. You are not unclean, you are not broken, you are made whole and you are made new, and you have been set free by the power of God. That can be yours today, but you've got to make the decision. You've got to forgive in the same way that God has forgiven you. So this morning we're going to sing a song
called Come to the Altar. The Father's arms are open wide. God is here with you today. His Spirit has already been speaking to you today, and God wants to set you free. God wants to embrace you and let you know that what has happened to you, He cries with you. He is here for you. He has listened to you. He has broken with you. But He doesn't want you to stay there. So this morning, whether it's beginning a relationship with God and becoming part of His family, or if it's letting go and forgiving, this is your opportunity. This is your moment that I do not want you to miss. And so we have altars over here. If you want to go to these altars over here in front of the cross and pray by yourself, go. If you want to do it in your seat, that's fine. And also, I'm going to be available right over here to the left. If you want to come pray with somebody, if you want somebody to pray with you, if you don't know the words and you want somebody to pray with you, I will be right up here to pray with you if that's what you want. Whatever you need. But don't let this Easter just pass. Don't let this moment go. Embrace it. Take this opportunity that God has given you to be renewed and changed.
Thank you so much for joining us on our podcast today. We hope that you can make it to one of our Sunday morning experiences at 211 Boone Street at 10 a.m. Don't forget to check out our website, www.anchoredhope.church. You can also give online very easily and conveniently. We'd love to have your support on our mission to lead people to a growing relationship with Jesus.